Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a pleasure to have you listening to us this evening. We are teaching from the book of Matthew, which is actually the Beatitudes, to be specific, in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Yes.
And it's from Terrorized Bible Studies, actually, what Tara is teaching from today, Cultivated Heart.
Yes. And I want to say hi to Clarence. I know Clarence is a faithful listener to the radio show. Clarence, this is a shout out to you. Hello. We're so excited that you've tuned in to Cultivating Hearts. And we are on the last 2 weeks of, I can't believe, Cultivated Heart, the actual Bible study that from this Bible study and writing this one, it's what I named the ministry after, because this Bible study so formed my heart and the way I was supposed to behave, because all of them come from me just searching and God growing me up and in his righteousness. And today what we're going to do is we're going to read, Sabrina's going to read for us verses 11 and 12 as well from this passage, and then we're going to turn to Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at one verse in 52 and then several verses through Isaiah 53 and examine some things about Jesus and how Jesus's ministry was prophesied. And then I also have the verses that are where they quote that in the New Testament, that specific verse and the fulfillment of it. I'm going to tell you a funny story. A couple of years ago, I shared on the radio that I gave a challenge to my children that if they memorize Isaiah 53, I'd give them $20. Neither one of them met the challenge. They're probably dying. Mom just said that on the radio. But anyhow, Grant decided to meet that challenge this year. And I think he has only three verses left, and over 2 days, he memorized all the way up through verse 9, and he's now working on verse 10, and he can almost quote this whole chapter, and he wants that $20, because he's so funny. I'll do anything to get them to hide God's word in his heart, because if you're going to memorize a chapter, this is the chapter you need to memorize, and that's why I gave that challenge. But as he was going through and he was reading it, he had a revelation from God, and this is how God works. When we study his Bible and study his word, because it's his love letter written to us, when we take the time to know his word, God's going to show us a new truth. And Grant had an aha moment with God. He was sitting there quoting the passage to me, and I was listening as he's quoting it. And then all of a sudden he went, "Mom," Grant, and only Grant can do that the way he does. "Mom," and I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "This was said before Christ was born." And I said, "Yeah." And he's 11. And he goes, "This was said before Christ was born." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I go, "That's called prophecy." He goes, "Mom, that's amazing." Because they give exact detail about Christ's birth long before he was ever born. I go, "I know. Isn't that amazing?" And it was the first time I think that that whole understanding in his life where it clicked, that God proclaimed his word of what would happen with the word, his son, before it ever happened. And then seeing the fulfillment of it. It's the first time my son saw that.
I love that.
And it was so much fun to be there at the moment that that revelation happened to him. There's nothing like seeing it come on when somebody actually catches a truth. And he caught it in the middle of doing scripture memory. Shows you the value of hiding God's word in our heart when we take the time to heart it. Now, his motivation was for a $20 bill, but God uses all things when we're in the word, because all scripture is good for reproof, correction, and teaching and admonishing. And he used it to teach Grant a lesson. So that was just so exciting. Okay, Sabrina, let's turn to Isaiah 53, and we're going to look at I want us first to Isaiah 52:15. Would you look that up? And let's read the verse and see what it says in Isaiah 52:15. And then I want you to see, we're going to go to Romans 15:21. So Sabrina will read that one, and I'll read the Romans 15:21 to show you the counterpart of it in the New Testament. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Okay, I'm reading Isaiah 52:15.
Yes.
So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for they will see what had not been told them, and they will understand what they had not heard.
Okay, this here is the proclamation that when Christ comes, when Christ returns for us, that mm-hmm. it's going to shut the mouths of nations. Okay, so right now when we listen to the news and we're upset, or we feel tyrannized or even persecuted by our own nation, or a nation may feel persecuted or no persecution in other countries to the full measure, we can read this verse and know and rest in the promise that nations' mouths, kings' mouths will be shut.
Wow.
The fulfillment of this is spoken in Romans 15:21. It says, rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. And Paul's talking about it. He's explaining that these people will finally see and understand when Christ comes back. So some things we will not see that fulfillment here and now, right now. But when he comes back, we will see it, and they will begin to understand, because Scripture is very clear in Revelation. Every knee will bow, whether they believe in Christ now or not. Mm-hmm. When Christ returns, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And it says over and over again in Revelations, if you have an ear to hear, you listen.
Yeah.
It only takes ears.
You know, there's nothing worse than ears waxed grossly. In one of the translations, I can't remember which one, but that when he says, get he who has ears to hear, and then also in some of the passage, I think it was this one, actually, it's referencing the Romans 15 one where it says they do not hear. The commentators say that it's waxed grossly. Their ears are stopped up so bad, it's as if it's stopped up from debris.
Okay. And I'm not going to bunny trail here, but quick question. What happens when he does come back? And is it too late for them?
Oh, it just depends. I don't, that's a big theological. Okay. You know, it depends on where you stand on the dispensation of end times.
Okay, so that's the pre-tribulation. Yeah, okay, we don't have to get into all that.
Yeah,
okay.
That can get really in-depth. And that right there is greater than I am theologically equipped to answer. Because I'll tell you what happened to me when I was in seminary on this, Sabrina. They taught us each theory of end times. And they showed us each theory's scriptures that they used. And just looking at the scriptures out of the context of scripture, just looking at the verses that are used, I sat there and went, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, on all of them. And what I had to come down, and this just tells you how simple-minded I am, I go back to the scripture that says no man knows the day or the hour, and but he is coming back. So that's kind of where I have fallen on my stance.
Okay.
Because I'm not equipped to go all in depth. That is good for Debbie Blank, who is an incredible Bible teacher. You can catch her on Bot Radio. So look up Debbie Blank on Bot Radio, and she can answer that better than I could.
I love it.
She's a good, dear friend of mine. Let's look at Isaiah 53:1, and let's read this one, and then we'll look at the counterpart of where it's written in the New Testament as well. Sabrina, will you read that one?
Absolutely. Who has believed what we have heard, and who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to?
Okay, here's the question. Mm-hmm. Have you believed the report that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life? Have you believed the report? Because the strong arm of the Lord was revealed through his son. He came to deliver us from the pit of hell and the sin that entraps us so that we can have eternal life. And the question is have you believed the report? Romans 10:16 says, I'm going to switch to that page so that you can hear. It says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And then it goes into verse 17, and it's going back to that hearing. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Okay? We cannot have faith without having first heard. And so that's the importance of why we need to communicate the gospel message. And, you know, there are countless thousands of people groups in the world that still have not heard
the
language.
It's crazy to think in our world.
Yeah. There's countless people groups that still have never heard. And it just breaks my heart. Okay, now we're going to look at Isaiah 53:4. And Isaiah 53:4 tells us what Jesus Christ did in our behalf. Mm-hmm. And I want you to read that one for us, Sabrina, please.
Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted.
Ooh, okay. All right, so we regarded him as a stricken. We totally disrespect what he did. And then in Matthew 8, the fulfillment of it says, this was when it talks about Jesus was healing many in this passage. Starts in verse 14 and talks about him going to the mother-in-law and healing her and touching her. And then when evening came, in verse 16 it says, a man who was demon-possessed came to him, and he healed all the sick. And it says this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Mm. Okay. He made the healing possible. It's through him that was made possible. And all who touched him were healed. And he is the one that carried the sorrows, carried our pain, and made that possible. And his touch brings the healing because he then carries it for us. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it's the gift that he has given us. Now, I want us to think about this because in Isaiah 52:13, it tells us that it says, see, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up and lifted up and highly exalted. Jesus acted wisely. Okay, now as we're thinking through persecution, okay, we've looked at that all nations are going to bow. We know that we've been given a call to believe the report. We know that he carries the sorrows so that we can have healing. Jesus acted wisely, Scripture tells us. Mm. He is the servant of God, and he acted wisely. The question we want to ask, because we said we were going to begin this series by asking this question, and it is the question we wanted to ask ourselves, am I eligible for the kingdom of God? One of the things that we want to ask ourselves when we are facing persecution, something where somebody's ridiculing us, mocking us, making fun of us, harassing us, whatever, is am I acting wisely? The question that came to my mind is that we reflect through Isaiah 53, and I'd like to encourage you to read the whole passage because each one actually is a verse that is fulfilled in the New Testament. But I want you to reflect on and think through this. Jesus suffered voluntarily. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He willingly came from heaven and came upon this earth to walk on this earth, to be born as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, to walk and grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and then to teach, to preach, to heal, to cast out demons, and then to deal even with the persecution. And even though he knew persecution was coming, he still did everything he did wisely and in love as a servant of God in our behalf. The question we have to ask ourselves is, am I doing the same? How am I responding to those in my life? How am I responding in response to attack when it comes? Am I handling it wisely as Christ did? And in Isaiah 53, three different times it tells us that he went as a sheep to the shearers without a sound. He was very quiet and very silent as the persecution came. And I often will ask myself when I am dealing with something that I feel that I am being persecuted, I don't know about you. I like to defend myself.
Yeah.
Do you do that, Sabrina?
Way too much.
Yeah. I can justify my behavior. Mm-hmm. I can justify my actions. I can justify a whole host of things. Yeah, he didn't. Now, some people say, oh, well, but he was fully God. He didn't, you know, because he was fully divine, but he was fully human. And he felt the same pain, the same sorrow, the same crushing of his heart when somebody would reject him. Yet he did not
respond.
No. And I recently was having this discussion with my children. I want you to think about the Last Supper. And as they were sitting there at the table and they all have come in, and of course it's their tradition, you wash your feet. And no one did, because no one wanted to be the servant. No one wanted to have the lowly station of having their feet you know, having to wash other people's feet. Christ modeled it for them.
Mm-hmm.
No one in that room knew that Judas was the one that was going to put Jesus on the cross. He did not treat Judas any differently than he treated the other disciples.
And he knew that Judas was
right. He knew that Judas was the one. He knew. He knew before it ever got to that point. He knew that when he was chosen. And so all of that walking from the Sermon on the Mount, for 3 years, Judas walked beside him. Now, can you imagine walking for 3 years? It would be like Sabrina and I walking for 3 years together and knowing that if she knew that I was out to get her, and for 3 years she knew I was going to destroy her, not just destroy her, but kill her, and for 3 years to know it, and to have her look at me, talk to me, interact with me in such a way that no one in our environment would know that that's the case.
Wow.
Okay.
That's so God.
I know. It's so God.
It's so not us.
I know. But that's how he did it. And I was having this conversation with my children and talking to them about, you know, how to deal with attack, you know, or when somebody's mean at school, and, you know, taking it on a smaller level of things that kids deal with and helping them to love when someone's not even lovable. And he's our role model that we're to follow. And when I wrote this series, I have a quote that I wrote, and I was sitting here thinking, when I was studying for this lesson today, I thought, wow, that's profound. And I wrote, darkness only has an hour, but Jesus has eternity. And I want you to think, for a moment, it's going to hurt. You know, for however long the darkness is, however long the persecution is, however long the pain is, it's going to hurt for only a short period of time. But Jesus has eternity. And that's the reason why this beatitude says, blessed are those who are persecuted, for they will see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is wanting us to get the eternal vision of the future, not just on this earth, but the future of his kingdom reign. It's not just today. And so as we are dealing with the darkness for the moment, we need to be reminding ourselves over and over again, but Jesus has eternity. So I may be dealing with dark now, but I have the light of the world, so that there will be no sun, no moon, no stars, because I'm going to be under the light of the heavens through Jesus Christ and his righteousness in heaven. So darkness has a moment, but Jesus has eternity. That's a truth worth holding on to. We hope you come back next week to Cultivating Hearts. We want to talk to you and see what's going on in your world. So just email us at cultivatinghearts.org or tararye.com. God bless.